thoughts, Peach? Okay, there you go. I put my nose on the mic and I do a sniff. That's how I feel about this motion picture. Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. It's Halloween 2025. Ooh. Oh, the country's free falling into fascism. Oh, spooky. Thank you. We're in the middle of October now, and I want to thank you for being with us all month. All month, all October is Halloween for us here at PCMC. It's our Super Bowl. It's our big time of year.
You betcha.
I'm here today with Miss Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hello.
JGL, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I should also say that Peach is here. She is a little confused. She wants to know why we're distracted and not playing with her and giving her all our attention. She's currently sniffing the recorder.
She has thoughts.
She has thoughts. Jen, how is your spooky season going?
It's great. We're having a great spooky season.
What have we been doing?
You know, things, this and that.
You know, this and that. A lot of egging people's houses.
Yeah.
A lot of, you probably never did anything like that when you were young, right?
I did not.
You were kind of a goody two-shoes.
Our house got egged. It was horrible.
Yeah, I remember I egged it.
All right.
No, I didn't. No, I only did that like twice in my life.
Uh-huh.
There was like, I don't know, when I was a kid, it felt like I guess when you got to high school or maybe eighth grade, it was like, no, you don't trick-or-treat now. Now you've caused public trouble. And I did it, but I didn't like it. It wasn't for me, you know? But I also find it charming. It's all part of Halloween, I suppose.
Not at these prices, right, Peach?
The way these eggs cost, Peach? So we've been, I'm a little tired because last night I was up late. I watched this movie called Wreck, spelled R-E-C, like record.
Uh-huh.
And it's a found footage zombie movie.
Sure.
I've been watching lots of horror.
Uh-huh. We watched a zombie movie.
What did we watch?
It's a movie we're going to talk about.
Oh, Paranorman. It certainly is. Well, it's a movie with zombies in it,
It's a zombie movie, for sure. Scary.
It begins with a fake zombie movie.
Spooky scary.
Do you find this film spooky scary?
It's a little spooky.
So, yeah, we're talking about Paranorman from 2012, which is a long time ago now.
Yeah.
It's directed by Chris Butler and Sam Fell. Who, Chris Butler worked on Corpse Bride and Coraline. Sam Fell worked on the Tale of Despero, if you remember that. It was about like a mouse night or something.
I don't remember that.
It was written by Chris Butler. So I guess the thing, Peach is playing with the, she's playing with the thing that the little leather bag that the microphones go into. We don't have to play with that right now, do we? Take a seat, ma'am. Ma'am, take a seat. So Paranorman is kind of the ugly stepchild in the conversation of spooky stop motion animated films. Oh, what do you think? She just used her paw to push the mic down like, I said no paparazzi. So the big one is obviously A Nightmare Before Christmas, which is great. And, you know, it was the first of its kind. I mean, not really, but it's kind of like coming off things like Rankin Bass kind of specials.
Yeah.
And then there's Corpse Bride, which I'll be honest, I've only seen Corpse Bride once ever.
It's okay. That's always the vibe I get from it for me.
What?
It's okay.
How many times have you seen it?
Well, when Freeform was still going on Spectrum.
Yeah, we don't have Freeform anymore.
R.I.P. I'd watch it every year because I was a big fan of their Halloween lineups. But yeah.
Let's talk about Freeform for a second.
I miss it so much.
Freeform used to be Fox Family.
Originally it was Fox Family, then it was ABC Family.
And before Fox Family, wasn't it just Family? Do you remember like the 90s the Family? That. Yeah, and they did the 31 Nights of Halloween, right? And they still do it, but we just Island, I guess our two major cable options are Verizon and Spectrum. And Spectrum never made a deal with Freeform, so we don't have it anymore.
Yeah, it's horrible.
But what would, I mean, you could watch the movies that they show on your own. What makes it different?
I need the little, like...
bumpers?
Yeah.
You like the whole vibe, the whole aesthetic, the whole, hey, you're watching spooky stuff.
Yeah, because they put things together. They always do a pop-up, a pop-up video for Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
They have a virgin count on it. That's fun.
How many times they call this child a virgin?
Yeah. Or just say virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I know. That's where I learned that her legs move under the sheet. The little sister that they kill in the beginning of Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, her legs move under the sheet after she's supposed to be dead.
Oh, that's always a weird part of that movie.
Yeah.
Because there's like a dead child on screen. So when did you show Paranorman before me? When did you see Paranorman?
I think I saw it in the movie theaters.
You did, really?
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think that and Frankenweenie were out at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Went in expecting to love Frankenweenie, and I was like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I didn't finish that thread. Yeah. But Coraline is great. Is great. You agree?
No. Well, she's upset that nobody likes Frankenweenie.
Oh. No, she's upset because she's like, but Neil Gaiman is so problematic now. I know, Peach. But Coraline's still a good movie. And then Frankenweenie, which is just the bottom of the barrel. I like the original Frankenweenie short with Shelley Duvall.
Yeah.
They used to show that on like the Disney Channel and stuff. But didn't we try to watch it like a year ago or 2 years ago or something?
Yeah,
and
I fell asleep during it. Yeah, it's not
which
great.
Is not a sign necessarily of anything because I fall asleep through most things, even things I love.
Fell asleep through it means St. Louis.
Yes. I've only watched, I think, one movie directed by Vincent Minnelli that I haven't fallen asleep through.
Terrible.
And it was the movie
Un-American.
All right. Remember when we saw the Cat People?
Yeah.
Vince Minnelli made a biopic of the producer who made the Cat People and those scary movies. And that was the one I didn't fall asleep through.
I got bored just listening to you.
Oh, just that sentence? Put you to sleep? So you saw both in 2012. You were like Frankenweenie and this, and then
and this is my favorite.
Yeah, yeah,
my favorite by far.
It's slept on, I think.
Yeah, it's yeah.
I was talking to somebody who will remain nameless.
But you'll tell me after, right?
What
you'll tell me after?
Yeah, yeah. It's just somebody that from work.
Oh,
and they had like a they're like a Nightmare Before Christmas adult, which I obviously don't hate on, but what I hated was I tried to bring up Paranorman and she like poo-pooed me, and it's like, excuse me, lady, you're the one with the fucking Nightmare Before Christmas bag, shirt, and phone case at this meeting. You're gonna fucking shit on me for liking Paranorman? Paranorman is great.
It's really great. It's really funny.
Yeah. It's really great. It's got a great aesthetic.
Yes.
I love that all of the characters look ugly.
Yeah, it's all gross.
It's gross for sure. It's got a grossness to it. It's ugly but endearing though.
Yeah.
It's not like off-putting in a way. It's kind of like ugly just in the way that like real people are ugly.
Yeah.
Like the mom is really ugly looking.
Yeah.
And the dad played by Jeff Garlin basically just looks like Jeff Garlin.
Yeah.
Except without the weird lips. The mom is voiced by Leslie Mann.
Yeah.
Sister who's supposed to be pretty looks weird. And Norman, he's got like a weird, like crooked nose as part of his design.
Yeah.
Norman's a really interesting look because he's a kid. He's got like spiky hair. It kind of like is like if they did Bart Simpson.
As a
stop motion character. He has huge big ears that come off the side of his head.
And they're like see-through.
Yeah.
The light's always shining through them.
Yeah. And you know what else? A lot of people in this are like simple shapes.
Mm-hmm.
Like his uncle, who's Uncle
Prendergast,
who has the same power as him, which is talking to dead people. It's a sixth sense.
Yeah.
He is a square,
basically.
And his friend Neil is a circle.
Yeah.
His mother's a line. The sister's a line. Yeah. The father's a circle.
So his sister's not a line. His sister's thick.
Oh, she does have a thick booty that gets spanked. Which is wrong.
Yeah. We don't by see Alvin. It, though. Yeah.
We don't see it. We just hear it.
We don't hear it. She just says hand.
No, you hear a little spank.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
So, what do you call it? Norman is played by Cody Smith McPhee, who I don't know what else he's really done. The sister Courtney is played by Anna Kendrick.
Brilliant.
Mom is Leslie Mann. Oh, I always forget Grandma is played by the legendary, the Broadway legend, Elaine Stritch. And she's great. You could just tell.
Yeah.
You could just, in her voice, you could hear her reading the check.
Yeah.
She's like, what's this about?
Yeah.
She puts out a cigarette.
Oh.
She's great, though.
Dude, she had great vibrato.
Yeah.
Do you ever see Elaine Stritch documentary? It's like her life story, but it's also her creating and working on a one-woman show. That's her life story. And she also would sing all of the hits from the show she was in. Mm-hmm. And she tells stories about Noel Coward. I don't know. It's very interesting. So the color scheme is interesting. It's a lot of earth tones, a lot of browns. It's very autumn. Mm-hmm. So it begins with a movie within a movie. We see it's a stop motion movie or whatever of a zombie movie, which sort of, I guess, brings up the theme. He's watching, Norman's watching a zombie movie and the ghost of his grandmother.
Zombie movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a great shot where a boom mic comes in and the actress pushes it away. And his grandma is sitting there on the couch. And she's in a tracksuit. So we kind of know right off the bat that he's a little weird. He likes horror movies, which isn't weird. He's very, without the talking to dead people, I was very much like Norman as a child. In fact, my room now looks like Norman's room. Yeah. But he talks to, his dad's working in the kitchen and his sister's on the phone, gossiping, whatever. And he says something about oh, grandma said, can you turn up the heat? Her feet are cold. And then the dad's like, what's wrong with you? The dad's always giving him shit.
Yeah.
It's very similar to the character he plays on The Goldbergs. Just a sort of shitty dad who doesn't understand his weird nerdy kid. There's a fun shot where Norman's parents are on either side of him and they're kind of talking about him while he's there. But all you see is his face and their stomachs. Everybody's sort of weird looking.
Yeah.
Well, dad had a good line. I'm nothing if I'm not a liberal, but that limp-wristed hippie garbage needs to be nipped in the bud. There's a lot of great dialogue in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of great dialogue.
So his bedroom is full of zombie posters and action figures and stuff like that. Uncle Prendergast is played by John Goodman. You know when they don't say outright in the movie? Because I've watched it twice this week. They don't say that he's related to the witch.
I know. Yeah, they have the same last name. Her name is Agnes
Prendergast, which means he would be a descendant of her.
I know. I kept waiting for them.
But they don't say it.
I know.
For some weird reason. Speaking of the witch angle, when I was watching this the other day, it reminded me of two other movies. One is The Witch, The Vavitch, with Anya Taylor-Joy, which is about a girl who's not a witch, but everyone treats her like she's a witch and ostracizes her from her culture. So when she's sort of lost everything, then the devil comes to her and is like, hey, you want to be a witch? And then she becomes a witch because they kind of forced her into being a witch.
Yeah.
And the other was Wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Uh-oh. You going to throw a tantrum because we're not paying attention to you? I guess podcasting would be... Oh. Podcasting must look very weird to a dog.
Yeah.
I want the stick you're holding. Throw the stick and I'll get it. Why do you... Can I ask you a question while you're barking? Why do you look so... Look at her little chin. Why do you look so proud? You've accomplished nothing. Look at your little chin is out. Your little chest is out. As if you pay bills. Come here. Come here.
She's like, I thought we were talking about Frankie Weenie.
I'm sorry.
There's no dogs in this movie. There is a dog in this movie.
Yeah. No dog of mine is a Tim Burton fan. Oh, boy. So they live in a place called Blythe Hollow, which is kind of like Salem, but not. Because it's got a history of this witch, which is the sort of main antagonist of the movie. 300 years. It's the 300-year anniversary of the execution of the witch. And there's witch stuff all over. Witch dolls and witch... And, there are stores called, Witch's Kitchen and, Witch's Wieners and stuff.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you see a car that has a bumper sticker that says, my other ride is a broom.
So it's
whole little economy is based on the fact that there was a witch. Which is kind of,
Salem.
What Salem's like.
Yeah. I like that when, not witch related, but I like when he's well, you said the bumper sticker, and that reminded me when he's walking yeah. to school. He sees all these ghosts, but then he sees a real person. And he like steps out of the way and is, he says hi to every ghost. Like he's like walking yeah. through the neighborhood and he's really friendly with all of them. But then a real person gets in his yeah. way and he like gets startled, looks yeah. at him, and then like steps around him.
Yeah.
Like he's scared of him.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, he's this outcast.
Yeah.
And even like his one friend is kind of like not his friend. This yeah. little fat kid, Neil.
Oh my God, Neil.
Who runs up to him and he's like, I really just want to, I told you I like to be alone. And he's like, okay, let's be alone together.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Samwise from Lord of the Rings when he's like, uh-huh. I have to go to Mordor alone. And he's like, of course you do. And I'll be with you, yeah. Mr. Frodo.
You brought up, but the dead pigeon.
Yeah.
With the little plastic.
Oh, so sad. Ring, the, like, when we see the ghost. One of the ghosts is a dead yeah. pigeon with the can ring around its neck.
And he gives a little sad cough.
Aw.
He's just the embodiment of yeah. Global warming.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful shot because yeah. we see him walking down the street just like talking to no one. Hey, how are you? Well, how are you today? Yeah. And the neighbors are looking at him like, wow, this fucking weird kid. But then the camera sort of like zooms in on him and then kind of like tracks around his yeah. head till we see his point of view. And then we see all the ghosts
yeah.
that are just everywhere. And there's like a hippie ghost.
Yeah, it's all from all time periods. Yeah.
A ghost of a woman who was, I guess, skydiving and got stuck in a tree.
I thought that was supposed to be
Amelia Earhart?
Yeah.
Oh, could be.
I thought that was the joke.
Well, he says, how's it hanging? Yeah, because yeah. she's in a tree. And she's like, oh.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But I thought the joke was that she was supposed to be Amelia Earhart.
That, yeah, I think I thought that too. There's a greaser who's like, hey, what are you doing, Norman?
There's a mobster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Yeah. And he's got he's got the concrete on yes, his feet.
But he's still shooting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the fish and around
him. And he's nowhere near a lake yeah. or like a body of water.
Yeah, it's really cute. I like the way the ghosts look. The ghosts have this sort of like translucent greenish yeah, blue look.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like these little orbs and like pixels and stuff kind of around them. It's a very cool look. The movie's just got tons and tons of style. At school, Norman's locker has the word freak written on it. And you see him open it up and take out a little, like, rag, like yeah. he's used to doing this every day.
And then it pans over to Neil, and it has Fatty on it. Oh. They're both cleaning their lockers up.
Yeah. What is Neil has a great, when they're talking about being bullied, Neil has a great line.
I wrote it down. I love Neil so much. Norman asks, I guess, like, why he gets bullied. And Neil says, because I'm fat, and my allergies make my eyes leak, and I sweat when I walk too fast. And I have a lunchbox with a kitten on it. Oh, and I have irritable bowel syndrome.
Like he forgot that he had irritable bowel syndrome.
And he's so proud of all
but
of
he's
them.
But he's proud of it.
He's so proud he's, of all
you know
of
what,
them.
Though? He is. He knows himself. He absolutely knows himself. And he knows what he's about. Do Neil and Mitch have parents? Or does Mitch... It looks... I feel like Mitch is raising Neil.
I don't know.
It's weird, right?
I don't know. Or I didn't know.
Then again, we don't see their ghosts. But they're just never seen. And it feels like the older brother, Mitch, really like is in charge of Neil's life.
Or maybe they have a single mom.
Oh, that's true.
That's hard.
That's true. Yeah, Neil's older brother is Mitch, who's played by a awful real-life person, Casey Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
But Mitch is like...
Mitch is very sweet.
He's very dumb.
Yeah.
Well, they both have the same freckles and
yeah.
red hair and like brown eyes. But whereas Neil's a little chubby guy, Mitch is like super buff on the top, super skinny legs.
But I almost wonder if he was like a chubby child because he tries. I forgot what he says exactly, but. Like, encouraging him.
Yeah.
Like, he gives him advice on how to be cooler.
Yeah, well, because right.
But almost like he's worried about him.
Yeah, well, he brings Norman home, and he's like, oh, you brought the weird kid home. Let me give you a tip. Like, you don't need more weirdness in your life.
Yeah, but I wonder if maybe he was bullied and then got himself all sense. Buff, and now he's trying to protect his brother.
We do learn in the very last scene that he's gay.
Yeah.
Classic mid-2000s... last second reveal that a character's gay.
Yeah.
Because you've watched it now and you can't complain. It's like, you slipped it in. Yeah. You made me have empathy for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did I see the sister? Norman's sister is played by Anna Kendrick.
So good.
Yeah, this is, she similar to Scott Pilgrim's sister, kind of vibe, like, you know, kind of mean older sister.
Yeah.
We meet the bully at some point named Alvin.
That's so Alvin.
Yeah, he says, "That's so Alvin." He's, you know, he's a typical, he's almost like an 80s movie bully. He's voiced by Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who was, you know, McLovin.
That's a fun turn. I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah.
But now I hear it.
Yeah. He's interesting because he starts as a bully, but then he kind of goes on the adventure with them and he's kind of nicer at the end. Neil is played by an actor named Tucker Albrizzi.
Mm.
We also meet their friend Salma, who's their female friend. She's not a huge role, but she's in there. She's played by someone named Hannah Noyes, who has no other credits.
Wow.
But she sounds to me like Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah,
so I looked it up and it's not. It's unless it's Aubrey Plaza under a stage name. We see the kids are doing a play based on the witch.
Yeah.
Their drama teacher's played by what's her name? You know, from Gilmore Girls.
Alex Borstein?
Yeah, Alex Borstein is the drama teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But she's doing like this very over-enunciated voice. That's when you first have the first vision. Like they're practicing the play, and like the world seems to burn away.
Yeah,
like Norman or the other kids in the play are playing these judges, which is the story is these judges, like, you know, they sentence this girl, this witch, to death, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but you see them like as if like reality is paper. You see them burn away, and underneath are the real judges.
Yeah,
and then the whole world is that world.
Right.
There was a funny line where the uncle approaches. The father mentions the uncle in the first scene about like this, your crazy uncle.
Yeah.
And he approaches him and he's like, psst. And he was like, that statue pissed at us.
He also, Uncle Prendergast says, "Do you know who I am?" And Neil says, "The weird, stinky old bum who lives up there."
Yeah. And he's scared of Neil because Neil throws stuff at him and he's.
From his lunchbox.
Yeah.
I'll throw this hummus. Yeah. It's spicy.
And then later on when he's alone, he's like, I'll show that scary fat kid. He tells him, you know, he approaches Norman and he's like, you know, I can also see and speak to ghosts. And, you know, I need you. He tells him about the witch's curse.
Mm-hmm.
When the uncle goes home, he like dies. He like falls down and then his body like. His green ghost sort of like comes out of him and then it comes right back in and he gasps.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I still got more time. And he's like alive and then he dies again.
Yeah.
And he's dead. I like the way that this movie very casually and lightheartedly, but not glibly, like deals with death.
Yeah.
People die and death is a part of life. And it's not mocking it or making light of it, but it's also like not making it like it's the worst thing in the world.
It's just
part of life. People die, and there are dead bodies and stuff. The uncle, by the way, has a baseball cap with a beaver holding a wrench on it. I don't know, he's got dirty fingernails, big beard, and it's John Goodman really going ham. Really going for it. Oh, in the town square there's a statue of a witch and it's like wicked witch. Pointy hat, pointy nose, adult mole. Witch. Mole, like typical witch iconography. There's a funny bit where Neil's like, can you see my dog that died?
Yeah.
He got ran over by an
animal rescue truck.
Tragic, but ironic.
Yeah.
And he's like, when the ghost comes out, he's like a dog in half. He goes around and sniffs his own butt. It's cute.
He's kind of like Slinky Dog because he's got like a little like gut.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what.
Yeah. We learn the lore that ghosts have unfinished business and that's where the ghosts. It's just like Casper.
Yeah.
A movie we also saw recently.
Yeah.
So there's they do the play.
Uh-huh.
And the family's there and stuff. And during the play, Neil is playing the tree that they hang her from.
And he's so proud.
Yeah, he's so into it. And that's another scene where I'm like, where's his parents? Because just Mitch there.
Oh, that's true.
But again, she could be working. You know, they have a big house.
They do have a big house.
So, but Norman has another one of those moments where, like, he has a vision. And he like, in the vision, he is the witch. Uh-huh. And the judge character and all these other townspeople are chasing after him. And then the tree picks him up and says, like, the dead will come back or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he comes out of it. And he's like, the dead will come back. And everyone's freaked out and looking at him. And then driving home, the father's like, you know, this is it. This really has to stop. Mm-hmm. And this is really sad because Norman says, I wish everybody could see what I see. I didn't ask to be born this way.
And then his dad said, we didn't ask for it either.
Which is fucked up.
I know.
Sad. And then the mother's like, sometimes people say things that are mean because they're scared.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, he shouldn't be scared of me. And the mother's like, well, he's scared for you.
Yeah.
But that sets up the theme that is really the whole thing, which is being afraid of things that are different.
Yeah.
Because the zombies that come up later, which are the zombies of the town people that she killed, you know, right before her execution, people think that they're a threat, but they're not. Mm. People think the witch is this evil person, but we learn, she was just a little girl who was misunderstood and mistreated. And Norman is just misunderstood. Like, so this whole thing of like fear of the unknown or fear of what's different is what causes trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, woke bullshit. So the uncle's ghost visits him while he's on the toilet at school.
It's so gross.
This is a gross scene.
It's all gross.
You think so? It's not that gross.
Well, it's not that gross, but this scene's gross. Anything with the uncle is gross.
Yes, I agree. Gross. His house is full of like bugs and shit.
Gross.
And rats and stuff.
Gross. Yeah. It's all gross. We'll get to it, but
the uncle's in the toilet.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you died? And he's like, yeah, but I got unfinished business.
Yeah.
And he tells him, like, you know, every year I'd have to go and read from this book at the place where the witch was buried. And that's what keeps her at bay. That's what keeps the curse from whatever happening. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but my unfinished business is you have to do it now because I can't do it.
Right.
So Norman's like, okay, I'll do it. And he's like, okay, yeah, it's good enough for me. And then he goes away. But while he's describing the story of the witch, the toilet paper that came out of the toilet paper dispenser in the bathroom, like, come up like snakes or whatever, or like hands.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff. Actually, the whole thing, like, when he begins to be haunted, because he's on the toilet and then, like, the tiles behind him start, like, moving like there's something underneath them. Yeah. And Alvin's in the next stall.
Yeah.
tagging his name but misspelling his own name.
Yeah, so he has to cross it out.
Yeah. It's a really interesting bit. Uh-huh. And so that's when he learns this thing about, like, he says, you have to go and get the book that's in my hands, but, like, my real hands, where my body is.
Uh-huh.
Which is where he goes to the house and we see, like, slugs and rats and...
And then he has to, like, pull the book from his uncle's hands. And I mean, that's kind of funny because he has to fight with his...
It's fun with dead bodies.
Yeah. It's I guess it's in rigor mortis because it's all stiff.
Yeah.
But then it falls on him and his tongue falls out of his...
Yeah, that's fun.
Oh, it's so gross. But anyway, no, right after the bathroom scene, you almost get my favorite line.
Oh, yes, please.
So, Alvin goes up to Neil to see where Norman went, and he says something like, tell me where he is, and Neil's like, no, I'm not going to tell you. What are you going to do? And he's like, I'll punch you in the boobs. And Neil's like, I don't have boobs, and then he punches him, and he's like, ow, my boobs.
He goes, I have pecs.
Oh, yeah, I don't have boobs. Those are pectorals.
Ow, my boobs.
Ow, my boobs. Something hilarious. I say daily.
Yeah, you do say that a lot.
Ow, my boobs. Ow, my boobs.
Norman's phone rings and his ringtone is the theme to Halloween.
Yeah.
And then he looks outside. It's weird. He looks outside and Neil is in his backyard in between these sheets that are hanging on a drive, which is an homage to a shot from Halloween, but he's wearing a Jason mask. It's weird,
maybe
little homage.
They didn't want
to
get sued.
Yeah, I guess.
They didn't want to do too much.
But also, whoever did the subtitles was confused because the subtitles say Friday the 13th theme plays. It's like, no, you're wrong, Halloween. Subtitles. That's Halloween. Yeah. And he has a cute little moment in the bedroom with his grandma.
Yeah. She said her unfinished business is that she promised she'd always look out for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really sweet.
And she calls his dad an ass, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And she says, if I was a poltergeist, I'd throw something at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, she says, and there's nothing wrong with being scared, Norman, as long as it doesn't change who you are.
Yeah.
So he goes to where he thinks is her grave.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts reading from the book, but he thinks it's like the wrong book because it's like a fairy tale. And I guess he's under the, he seems to be under the like impression that it's like going to be like a spell or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That he, or some incantation that he's going to say.
Right.
So he's kind of confused when it's like a fairy tale. Also, Alvin kind of follows him.
Yeah.
So Alvin's
there.
And
he interrupts him.
Yeah. And the witch is sort of represented like as a sort of vapor that kind of flies around, and it's like these different little tendrils of vapor, and then some, but sometimes they come together and like make a face. It's really interesting. Then the ground begins to crack, and the zombies of the seven victims of her, of the witch, come out of the ground.
Yeah.
And he realizes he was in the wrong place. He was not at her grave. He was at the grave of the victims.
Right.
Which is why him reading the book didn't work.
Uh-huh.
And now why they're zombies.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Speaking of zombies. There's a fun bit where Neil is in front of the TV and he's he's like eating shit and
the doorbell rings and the his brother's like, are you freeze framing mom's aerobicized videos?
Yeah.
And it's
the lady's big tush. Pump ass. Yeah. He's just looking at it.
He's just looking at a lady's big pump tush.
He's looking at an ass. He's like, no.
Neil's the best.
And it's the sister Courtney because
He
was supposed to, Norman was supposed to be grounded after what he pulled at the play, but he snuck out of the house to go do, you know,
what his uncle
told him to. Yeah. So the sister's like, knows that that's his only friend. So she's like, Mitch opens the door and she sees that he's like gorgeous with like huge muscles. And she's immediately into him.
He opens the door in a towel.
Yeah.
And a rubber ducky shower cap.
Yes.
That's what he opens the door in. And she's like, that's my man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's him.
Mitch has a tribal tattoo, which is just so real for a certain time and a certain kind of guy.
Was it you? Are you that kind of guy?
No, I'm not. But people are related to have them. I mean, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
At a certain time.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people had them removed at this point. It was the male version of like a tramp stamp.
Yeah.
It was just the most basic shit.
Mm-hmm.
They decide to go to the cemetery to try to find Norman.
Uh-huh.
Neil has a funny line. He was like, when I'm nervous, I get mouth diarrhea. They go to the town hall to try to find like where she's buried. They call their friend. It reminds me a little bit of that scene in Stranger Things where they call the girl through the walkie-talkie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a really funny visual bit where the zombies are like in the town and there's a guy like...
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. There's a vending...
By the vending machine.
Yeah. There's like a vending machine in an alleyway. And it's like he puts the money in and it's like, you know, it's slowly turning to like get his chips. But then the zombies are like
coming in closer,
shambling up to him. And he's like, he's looking at both. Like he wants to run, but he also wants to get a snack first. It's pretty funny.
He runs away screaming and then runs back screaming.
It gets
screams
it.
In the zombie's face, gets the chips and then runs away screaming.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
It's so good.
And all these town people are so ugly looking.
Yeah.
It's really, they really go far with how gross they look. We meet, I guess, like the sheriff or the chief of police.
Oh, yeah.
Who's played by...
I think they said sheriff.
Okay, sheriff. And she's played by Tempest Blasso from... Oh. Is that Bledsoe? What's her name? Uh-huh. From The Cosby Show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tempest Bledsoe. Bledsoe. She was Vanessa on The Cosby Show. So when they go to the library, like Mitch starts like lifting the books like they're like weights. He's like, push through it. Neil, I guess, is illiterate. He's kind of like reading one page really slowly, struggling with it.
Yeah.
So the sister annoys me, right? Until she turns good, but she annoys me because, well, there's this whole like van chase. Mitch, Neil's brother, like has a van and they're driving in it, and the zombies are like kind of after them. And he hits one, and then he's like, he's afraid he's dead, and then he's like, he's breathing, and then he lifts his head up, and his head just comes off the body. Oh, and then she's like, "You have great deltoids," and he's like, "I've never taken those in my life. I'll take a test."
Deltoids.
There's even a point where, like, everyone, like, he knows himself too, because Neil's like, "You're the oldest." And he's like, "Not mentally." They're in. What annoys me about the sister is like, okay, so her brother's weird. He says he talks to zombies and stuff, or he says he talks to ghosts. But now there's zombies, right? Yeah. You see a zombie outbreak. Yeah, yeah. Why are you not like, "Hey, I was wrong"? But then they turn it into like she's mad at him, like it's his fault for being weird.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. It's just screenplay writing, I guess. But it kind of annoys me because it's like, now you know magic's real, lady. Yeah. So you should like be nicer to him.
I know.
The townspeople become an angry mob and go after the zombies. And again, they're all very ugly looking.
The mob stuff is funny too.
Yeah.
They say funny things.
Rawr, okay. All right. Let's not get mad. Play with your toy. Oh, you don't want your toy? You don't want your toy? You watched the movie with us. You don't have anything to say?
This is where we find out that the witch is a little girl named Agatha, right?
Yes, he gets a vision of her trial.
Oh, right.
And they're like, Agatha Pendergast or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like Puritan shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you were talking with the devil and, you know, it's very, you know.
I saw Goody Proctor with the devil.
Yeah. I don't mean to start rumors. Girl, you know I don't mean to start rumors, but I saw Goody Proctor talking to the devil. And it's like they're talking to him. That's an interesting thing, too, which is whenever he goes back and, like, has a vision, he is her always.
Yeah.
Which, again, is because she's related to him, but they never say that.
I know. They only relate it that they both talk to ghosts.
Yes. Yes, that's right. They never say.
The only way they relate it.
Yeah, there's no direct.
And he doesn't have that last name.
No, the uncle does. Yeah, so it would be on his mother's side.
Mom's side.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a Babcock.
Yes. Yeah, but so it's like they're talking to him, but then he sees there's someone behind him and he steps away and you see like this cute little girl and she's like, "I was just playing." And he's like, "Yes, playing with the devil." But then she has cool electricity powers because all of the people around her, like I get, these are the victims. These are the people that are zombies. Yeah. They start like walking toward her and she like starts to like glow and like spark. Yeah. And she's like, "You better get away from me. You're going to be sorry."
Yeah.
And then she sort of like shines really bright.
Yeah.
And I guess kills them. I guess that's how she killed them.
Yeah, maybe.
Because then he comes out of the vision.
Right.
But that's how he knows it's a little girl. And she was scared and she was crying. Mm. The only reason they say she's a witch is because she could talk to dead people. The judge is played by Bernard Hill, he was the captain in Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
He was
that guy.
He was the king of Rohan in Lord of the Rings.
He was in Legally Blonde.
Is he? What's he in Legally Blonde?
He's the professor that like touches her. He's no good.
No, that's a different guy.
Who is he in Titanic? Then I don't know who he is in Titanic.
Oh, I know who you're thinking about.
Oh.
Titanic captain.
Oh, the captain. I was thinking of the guy that built it.
No, don't give me the real captain. I don't care about that fucking guy.
I was thinking about the guy that built the Titanic.
This guy.
Yeah, I'm with you now.
Remember him in Lord of the Rings? Do you remember when I made you watch Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
Sorry, he was not in Legally Blonde.
He was not. Sadly, he was not. He was not. But yeah, you're right. That other guy is the... Okay, I forgot about... Okay, yeah. What a heel turn that is in that movie. When he puts his hand on her leg, right?
Gross. Should we watch it? Should we watch it right now?
You want to just stop the podcast and watch Legally Blonde real quick?
A little.
So even though the mob's going crazy... Norman is like surrounded by them and they don't attack him.
Yeah.
And the judge is like, "You have to stop
her.
You have
to help us."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you realize that they're not bad. Yeah, and they're even remorseful.
Yeah, they realize that they were scared and wrong and
right.
that they put a little girl to death.
Yeah. But the thing is, they want him to read from this fairy tale book because that'll put her to sleep for another year.
Uh-huh. Them all to sleep.
Yeah, put them, right. It'll let them go back to the grave. Yeah,
they just want to rest.
Right.
And they want her to, they can't rest until she's at rest.
Right.
And then Norman says that. He's like, well, it's just going to be another year. So then they figure, like, okay, well, how can we, like, what do we do?
Yeah. He has a night, because he's sort of like, he throws the book at them and he's like, you read it yourself. He's like mad for what they did.
Yeah.
And I think the judge is the only one that talks, right?
Yeah, the judge is the only one.
And I think only he can understand the judge because when you, other people just hear like,
Yeah, there's a funny scene where they're all in the car going to the witch's grave and the sister just hears like,
yeah. She's like, he's
he's on my side.
Yeah, and the dad's like, what does he say? The three of you better stop it. The dad has a lot of funny, like, lines.
He's got a lot of good dad lines.
Yes. What does the mom say that the dad's like, I wish I understood you?
Something about, like, psychology.
Oh, yeah. Norman comes out of the town hall, which is in front of where the statue is. And the angry mob is there, and they're like, he's with the zombies, whatever, let's kill him. And the mom's like, can you stop being a mob for one second? Norman's like trying to tell them, no, they're not bad, they're afraid, like, you don't have to be afraid of them. And then the sister steps in and steps up, and she, like, grabs his hand and holds his hand, and she's like, everyone stop trying to kill my brother right now. And she sort of tells them what it is. And then, like, Mitch talks, they all talk.
All you want to do is burn and murder stuff. Burn and murder stuff.
Yeah.
That's what Mitch says.
Yeah. And that's when they all hold hands.
And then one guy
spanks her butt.
Right. Well, when Mitch says that, one guy, like, lowers his torch.
Yeah.
Like, he's embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, there's a funny shot where, like, you see them, like, dropping their weapons. And, like, you see, like,
one lady brass
knuckles. Oh, yeah, a bowling ball. You know what I was thinking about? In stop motion, how do they do that? Like, how do they do...
Drop something?
Yeah, like, do you just, like, suspend it the same way you do on anything else? Like, you don't just drop... Like, you would see the frame. You would...
Yeah.
You'd have to just, like, have something holding it up. Well, that's how all stop motion is now. Like, it is easier now because, like, in the days of Night Before Christmas, it was all in camera. Yeah. Where now, like... There'll be, like, these arms that are connected to characters, and they just CGI them out.
Oh.
But still, like, not easy. It's, like, an arduous way to do a movie.
Yeah.
The witch sort of comes out, and she's swirling around. She destroys the witch statue.
Mm-hmm. As she should.
Yes. Norman is climbing up the sort of tower. He tries to, like, read to her. He tries to talk to her. She's not having it. She's, like, laughing at him. He's like, why won't you talk to me? We forgot the part where somebody about the judge, I think the dad or the sister says zombie and Norman says stop saying the Z word.
Yeah.
So he's climbing up there and she like has lightning power. So
she keeps electrocuting him.
Yeah, she like shoots him and he like falls off of it and then I guess he falls into where does he fall into at that point? I don't remember.
Well, she's breaking apart the ground.
Well, that's what he goes. At some point, they go to...
Her
grave. That's when they're driving with the zombie in the back. Because that's when they go. They're they're trying to find where she's buried.
Because
she's buried under the tree they hung her on. So they find... They're going to find... And they turn around and then you see like swirling in the sky. Like monstrous swirling. And the mom's like, I think that's it.
Yeah.
He goes there and he's like... He's going to talk to her and she destroys the book.
Yeah.
She's like... There's a really good thing where he's like... trying to talk her down. And then we see like a close up on his ear and you hear her whisper and she's like, I don't want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And you can't make me.
Yeah. It's really creepy.
Yeah. It's very creepy. And she's a really cool design because she's a little girl, but she's like luminous and she's got like lightning hair and she's like floating around and like palpitating all over the place.
Yeah. But he tries to talk her down and then. At some point, they get into an argument, and he's like, you're a bully.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing to them that they did to you.
Yeah.
And, like, basically, like, you're losing yourself in your anger. Like, you're not even able to remember who you are.
Right.
which I thought was good.
Yeah, and he does it like a fairy tale. He's like,
yeah.
Oh, let me tell you another story of a little girl who was scared and everyone was treating her bad. And she's like, I don't want to hear this.
Yeah. She realizes.
And it's very cool because they're like in this weird liminal space where like the ground is breaking in, like the ground falls from under them. So they're just like in this this nether space where it's just the tree. And he's just like on the trees. It's like floating in the space.
But then in all that, he touches her hands and that's what brings her back.
Yeah. And she remembers her name.
Yeah, she remembers her name. And like
Aggie,
her nickname. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just her name, her nickname.
Yeah.
And that she had a mom and her mom loved her.
Yeah.
And they took her away from her mom.
She says, I just want my mom.
I want my mommy. That's what she says.
Yeah, I want my mommy.
It's even worse.
Yeah. And then he's like, let's just relax under the tree. And then she goes away because her unfinished business is done.
Yeah.
So it's this interesting thing of like.
Well, they talk about how. Well, she asks. She's like, how's the story going to end?
Yeah.
And he said, I think that depends on you. And then they're talking and she was like, is this where they buried me?
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, it's a good place to rest. And then at one point he says, you'll see your mom again.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like.
Sweet. Yeah.
So touching.
Yeah.
Because she was like, where's my mom? And he was like, she's gone.
Yeah.
Which is so sad that like a ghost misses her mom.
Yeah.
But like kind of outlived her in
some
way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's real sad.
It would have been cool if you were like, you're my aunt. But I don't know. Maybe like last minute they just made her last name the same as the uncle's and they didn't. There was like a last minute choice.
Or there was like a time or.
Yeah.
They ran out of money.
Right.
They couldn't animate that part.
But it's cool that like her being talking to her and really listening to her and letting her have a peaceful end and go away solves the problem.
Yeah, instead of just putting her to sleep every year.
Right. It's like that episode of Doctor Who where they're on the spaceship that's like on the space whale and to use it to navigate, they just zap it constantly and torture it.
Yeah.
And they're like having a crisis, like of an energy crisis. And then the doctor sets it free and then it's faster than it was before and it fixes the problem.
Yeah.
It's like that. Like this, you kept putting a Band-Aid on the problem.
Yeah.
When all you had to do was just actually talk to her.
Yeah.
Which the uncle never did. He just read the book and whatever. And I guess for the last 300 years, everybody did except him.
And it's always been an adult. Norman's her age.
Yes, that's true too. Yeah,
and
no
one listens to him because he's a kid.
Yeah. And there's a great cut from her till they cut back to reality. And you see the head of the witch statue.
Yeah.
Which looks nothing like her. It's an adult Wicked Witch of the West face.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like their whole image of her.
Yeah.
You know what this is also like? Nimona.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. The image of the villain is not really who it is. It takes away all the vulnerability. And their friend says in the beginning when they're rehearsing the play, and she's the witch, and she's like, I don't think this is historically accurate.
Mm-hmm,
and then Alex Borstein's like, it's not about being historically accurate. It's about selling keychains and things like that. Oh, everybody, like, this day is saved, and Courtney's like, to Mitch, we should go see a movie sometime. And he's like, oh, yeah, you should meet my boyfriend. You'd love him. He loves chick flicks.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, he's got a boyfriend. It's fun. There's a fun moment with Neil where he's like, thanks for sticking with me, Neil. And he's like, no problem. Neil's funny. Actually, you know, we missed in the beginning, but in the beginning, there's a whole bit where they're with the dog and he's like throwing the stick. And he's like, come on, Norman, do it. And he's like, I don't want to. And he's like, you just throw it. You just throw it. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You just throw it. Like, he's so, despite being bullied, he's not at all lack confidence.
No, not at all. Oh, he's the best.
What a good movie for kids.
Yeah, it's great.
Why do you think this movie isn't Alamo plays it they're playing it again this year, I think, all over, not just in Alamo because it's an anniversary. There's also a new short film that's going to be played before it with the
I think maybe part of it is like it is kind of gross and it is kind of ugly, and I think,
but isn't
like,
that also
overlooked?
True for things like Coraline and Nightmare Before Christmas.
I don't think Coraline's got kind of a cult following, no?
Yeah,
it's not like people are showing their kids Coraline. It's like people our age remembering.
I mean, I guess it's all kind of a, even Nightmare Before Christmas is sort of a cult follower. I mean, it's a very small specific thing. But that one has a
Disney touch.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of, it's like kind of pretty.
Yeah.
This is like kind of ugly and I guess, gross. Yeah. It's not Disney. So it probably, I don't know how, do you know what the numbers were when it opened? Like, did it open big?
I have no idea. I wonder what the critics said about it, though.
I feel like some people, you know, don't even know it exists.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Yeah. No, it is. I guess it's like, it doesn't have to overtake those.
It's
not like
it's hated. I think it's just way under the radar.
Yeah, it. I don't want it to overtake those other movies. No, just don't want it to be so far in the rear. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like those other movies are part of the conversation, and this one is like all the way behind, and it's like, it's really, really good.
It is really good.
It has an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 72% audience score. By the way, the new animated short is not stop motion, but done in that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Enter the Spider-Verse animation, which kind of works for these designs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. I do like that they're bringing it back out. Maybe it's just not old enough. You know what I mean? Maybe they were like little kids that saw Paranorman, and like when they turn to their 20s and start feeling nostalgic, it's going to have that huge turnaround.
There's also no song, really.
There's no song. Like
Coraline. Just the Coraline song.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Kind of hooks people, especially now with TikTok. There's no like soundbite, really.
Well, we're here to say, if you haven't seen Paranorman, fucking check it out. It is perfect. It's perfect spooky fall vibes. Yeah. It's so good this time of year. It takes place in the fall. It's a big crunchy leaf of a movie.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it's got an ugliness to it or grossness to it, but it's like gross in the way kids like gross.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's Halloween-y. So yeah, it's Halloween-y. Show it to your kids.
Show it to everybody. Tell everybody.
Yeah. Tell everybody.
Tell everybody. Start your own podcast. Yeah. Tell everybody.
No, don't tell your own podcast.
Oh, don't? No.
No, tell them to listen to our podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Tell them to listen to PCMC.
Yep.
We've got more Halloween coming. We have a few more episodes. And you know we come out every single Wednesday throughout all time. Jen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I didn't get a fun Halloween name.
Oh. Jennifer Grave Luttrell.
Yeah, fun. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So I'm Mike Mangione. I'm here with Jennifer Grave Luttrell.
Ooh.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.